It's time for the Apple Watchcast. New AirPods and the long-awaited AirPower may be launching soon. Apple is bringing in Hollywood stars for its March event. A new acquisition could mean big changes coming for Siri, and Apple Watch still the dominant leader in smartwatch sales. Plus a review of some new watch bands and the app Noted. This and a whole lot more, it's all coming up next in the Apple Watchcast. The Apple Watchcast is brought to you by the wonderful support of our Patreon subscribers. Become a patron of the Apple Watchcast, and for as little as a dollar a month, you can help us keep producing this show and get a little something extra in return, like access to bonus episodes, Apple Watchcast gear, and even be a guest on the show. So check out our page at patreon.com/Apple Watchcast to subscribe and become a patron of the Apple Watchcast. This is the Apple Watchcast, episode 269, recorded Sunday, February 17th, 2019. Hey, Barbie.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple Watchcast, a podcast dedicated to the Apple Watch.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast, where we talk about any and everything Apple Watch, Apple's most personal and healthy device yet, and the number one watch in the world. I'm your host, Tom, and joining me is Vincent. Welcome to the show, Vincent.
Top of the morning to you.
Top of the morning, early Sunday morning show. Should be interesting. This is where anything I pre-recorded, the voice is not going to match. It's okay. Too early in the morning. Also joining us, of course, is Chris. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Hey, Tom. Hey, Vincent. Thank you.
Hey.
Great to be here.
And I'm still getting over this cough a little bit. My voice was probably a lot different for that, too. But we'll get through it. We're at that weird part of the year where there's not a whole lot going on because we're all waiting and there's a lot of rumors of what's coming. But there is some stuff happening this week. Anything you guys want to mention before we kind of go through what happened this week?
I'm glad you're feeling better or getting better.
Yeah, I'm on the tail end of this, so hopefully I don't catch something else. That's my biggest fear. I'm about to go back out on the road again and hit a bunch of shows. So my fear is if I get it again, it might be even worse. But hopefully I'll be okay. So I'm just going to wear one of those masks, right?
Wow. I said you can. I see them in airports all the time.
Yeah, I know. But when you're doing customer service, it's a little off-putting, isn't it? And I never know if someone's wearing that mask to protect me or to protect them.
That's true.
Which is it, right?
Yeah. It's a little bit
I'm
going
to guess to protect them.
Possibly. I guess so. But you never know. Anyway, these are in no particular order. Let's start with, I thought this was kind of interesting. There's a lot of rumors swirling around Samsung is coming out with a bunch of new stuff, I think, here in a few weeks, but everything's leaked already. But one of them is Galaxy Watch Active. And I'm looking at some leaked images here, and they have just kind of completely copied Apple again on a lot of stuff. And one of them is the Apple's activity rings on the watch. Well, theirs is the shape of a heart, but it's the same thing. Three different colors monitoring three different things for your activities. They have the same little icons for different activities, the running, cycling, all those little, the green running guy, you know? And it just kind of blows my mind that they get away with this stuff.
It's easier to take it to the legal team.
I guess, but doesn't it frustrate you that if you'd spent millions of dollars and all that time and effort and research and developing the perfect system, someone can just come along and go, I'm going to tweak it and just use that. Thank you. That drives me nuts when they do that. But yeah, they're doing it. So this will be, this is apparently, it's got some interesting specs. I'm not sure. It's not quite near what an Apple Watch is, but it's mostly for activity, I guess. It's waterproof. It's got an AMOLED touchscreen display. It's
see what else. It's got 768 megabytes of RAM on the processor, 4 gigabytes of storage, NFC, GPS, heart rate monitor, Wi-Fi, and Bluetooth. And they say eventually they'll have an LTE version. So,
Yeah, it says waterproof up to 50 meters. Is that better than what they've had before?
I'm not sure. I haven't kept up with their specs. I would imagine that's similar, maybe a little better. That's kind of a standard, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah, I think it is.
You guys know what the battery life is?
Their operating system, Tizen? Is that how you say that?
I think so. Yeah.
Tizen?
Mm-hmm. What was that, Vincent?
You guys know what the battery life is like on these Galaxy watches?
That was my next question. I was going to ask the same thing, Vincent. It doesn't really say in this article.
It doesn't really say what the battery life is like. It says it has, it'll either be a 230 milliamp or 236 milliamp battery.
Yeah. They got rid of that flat tire thing on the Moto head, huh? I mean, it's completely round.
Yes. The images I'm looking at, it's completely round. Mm-hmm. No more flat tire. But
that's a thick-ass bezel. I'm sorry.
What was that?
I said it was a very thick bezel.
It's not very pretty.
Yeah.
No.
The whole watch is kind of boring looking.
Mm. Well, Tom, maybe they'll even, in the next version, design the ability to use the Apple bands. Just slide them in there. Then you know they're really taking their ideas.
Yeah, this looks – I can't tell if these are replaceable bands.
It's hard to tell. That's kind of led to my question. If you look – it looks like the little, I don't know, the arms that hold it in. I guess it looks like they can slide out. Those look like they can
slide out. That'd be a non-starter for me. Completely. Anyway, we'll keep an eye on that. There'll be more news coming up. And then speaking of just smartwatches in general, a new study came out. There's smartwatch sales are up 61% last year.
All right.
With Apple as the clear market leader once again. As I say at the top of the show, number one watch in the world. There's a reason for that. So this data that just came out, this, I guess they're looking at the last 12 months of ending in November, this past November. But they're saying it's up 51% to nearly $5 billion.
Yeah.
Top three brands, Apple, Samsung, and Fitbit.
Mm-hmm. Not surprising there.
Yeah, no surprise there. This is kind of interesting. 16% of U.S. adults now own a smartwatch.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's, isn't the younger demographic higher?
Yeah, to like 23%.
Yeah. So almost a quarter of the, what was that, like 15 to 30 or something like that. I
get the age. 18 to 34,
there it is.
But with some of the new health features on the Apple Watch, I imagine these numbers are going to change a bit. That the older, I think the older demographic numbers should be getting higher.
Mm-hmm.
I really think a lot of people are buying these, buying the Apple Watches at least for health reasons. Not something 18 to 34 are really that concerned about, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're
exercising.
They're doing it more for activity than they are the health monitoring, I guess is what I'm getting at. I would imagine that's going to spike with the with the EKG, the ECG feature and all that sort of stuff. But
there's two curves that intersect at some age when you go from, I'm just going to do a lot of activity to, I better start monitoring my health. Was that 45 or something like that?
Yeah, unless you have some sort of incident or some sort of medical condition, then there's another reason to do that. Speaking of other watches and other things, this is kind of crazy. I sent this to both of you earlier this week. There's a company called Nubia, and it's an interesting concept. They make foldable. Mm-hmm. You know how you've seen the phones that fold, right, with the screen that bends. Well, they're taking it to the next level. They're saying a foldable phone, and they're putting it on your wrist. So they're not calling it a watch; they're calling it a phone.
Yeah,
which I thought was an interesting distinction. But this is basically a metal band that goes around your wrist, but the screen is curved.
Mm-hmm.
And you can interact with it. They're saying in a couple of weeks this is going to be out.
It's kind of like the Microsoft band And they call it the band, like, literally. That just basically curved around your wrist as well. I had a full screen kind of thing like that, but it wasn't. I don't think it was full color or anything.
Yeah, this is a long, flexible OLED strip, if you will, that has a sliding interface on it. And this is wild. Now, what is it? Mobile Congress or what is it? Mobile Congress coming up?
Mobile World Congress.
Mobile World Congress in Barcelona, Spain, in a couple of weeks is where they're gonna release this, I guess.
Yeah, when I read through this, does it sound like it's maybe a European launch of some sort?
It might be. But very interesting. What did you say, Vincent? You sent me an image. You said it seems similar.
Yeah, it looked like the U.S. Federation of Planets, USS Defiant.
It does.
From Star Trek. It has these two, like, nacelle things coming on the sides where it has a camera and the buttons, I guess.
Yeah, this has a camera, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Which is...
I would almost buy this and try it out if I could, and you can launch it in the United States and actually get phone service. It looks kind of neat.
Yeah, I wonder if it would work. Do you need to have a phone?
I even punched some of these hot links to read more about it, and I couldn't get much more. Obviously, it's kind of hush-hush. I don't know.
Yeah. I tell you, I give them credit for going a different way.
It looks like launch soon, right? That's the interesting thing. Is soon, you know, next month or next year.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens there. But it's crazy. I'll put a link in the show notes so people can have a look at that. It's a crazy design.
It is.
It almost looks like a prototype, though. I'm sorry. It's not very refined.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The metal. I mean, it just looks like it's missing a cover or something. But we'll see.
It comes in different colors, too. Right? Stainless steel, stainless black or something like that.
Yeah, it has a black one, too.
Yeah. It's kind of cool.
It's almost like you take the stainless steel, the Link bracelet, and add a screen around part of it. You know?
Right.
That's basically what you're wearing. Now, again, this part time of the year, we're talking about a lot of rumors, a lot of things swirling around, lots to talk about with the AirPods. This was all over the news this week. The first thing I want to mention before we get into the rumor part of it is that AirPods are now the second fastest selling new product that Apple's ever released.
Mm-hmm.
Can you guess what the first one is? You've probably already read the article.
iPad?
Yes, the iPad. That was the most popular Apple product upon release. Mm-hmm. This is the second one. So they're estimating Apple's on track to sell 40 million pairs of AirPods this year.
Mm, okay.
That's a 90% year-over-year growth.
So 40 million.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Times, how much are they again?
160 bucks.
Yeah.
160?
Yeah.
Yeah, my little calculator here went into all kinds of weird numbers. 6 billion, 6.5 billion.
Yeah, there you go.
AirPods.
Yes.
Come on.
Exactly. Now,
let's figure some of my clients.
This is crazy. Right. They're saying that the AirPods currently are outpacing the Apple Watch sales by 40% at the same point after launch.
Yeah,
they're 40% more popular.
I'm seeing them pretty much everywhere. I mean, even in our group, probably much half the team members have AirPods now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I guess, amongst that demographic as well.
Yeah.
It's quite a status symbol.
Yeah. I mean, if I think about it, we all have them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one of those things, you know.
But it's super convenient.
You know, me in airports, I get all my research walking through airports.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people have them. Tons of people.
Yeah.
Well, they're saying it's more popular because of that reason. That's what happened with the original iPod. Mm-hmm. When you saw the white headphones,
right,
and the cables, you knew that person had an iPod.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a status thing almost. Mm-hmm. And the same thing's happening here. They said part of the problem with the watch is a lot of time your sleeve will cover it up. People don't even know you have it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right? But with these sticking out of your ear, it's kind of obvious. You know, you've invested in this technology and you enjoy using it. So, yeah, there's that little bit of status thing happening.
Right.
Yeah, I can see that. And I think we'll talk about it a little later, or maybe not, but the version 2 may be in black, which I guess helps mask it a little bit. And maybe they're trying to design it to stay in your ear a little better.
Yeah, I don't know if I buy the color thing, but we'll see if that happens. That's one of the rumors.
Yeah, Beats had a line that were black.
And did so, they?
They did. Yeah, those are,
But you're messing with the iconic Apple white ear thing that they have going for them, you know, since the iPod. So I don't know. Maybe they will.
Well, but my son, who's 26, texted me and said, I want the black version. I'm like, what are you going to do with the white version I bought you for Christmas?
Yeah. Sell them?
You don't need two.
Yeah, exactly.
I do look forward to the next version with the wireless charging case and, you know, maybe noise canceling. I think I'm still looking at like some over-the-ear headphones or something like that. Just primarily for noise canceling, and AirPods are pretty much my daily use ones.
Right. Now let's talk about the rumors for that, because what they're saying is that they will look identical to the current AirPods, but they will be slightly different. They're saying that they may actually have a different coating on them, which makes them less slick, I guess, for a better fit.
That's what it sounds like.
Improved grip, I guess. Some new coating that they're using. Go ahead.
I say, Tom, do you use them when you run?
Yeah.
That's. I can't. I think I've mentioned it maybe a long time ago that my right ear, it just slides right out.
Really?
It's the oddest thing.
Yeah.
My left ear just as snug as can be, but the right ear doesn't, and I run, and they don't do well. So that's why I was kind of looking for maybe a redesign way to stick in your ear a little better.
Well, I think according to Steve Jobs, you're wearing them wrong. No, it's that's the hard thing. Everybody's ears are different. So, but I'm just amazed that they're able to create these, design them at least to where a majority of people, they fit fine. That had to be quite a task. I wish I could see the story behind it, you know? And the concept I understand is that the reason the wired, earbuds, if you will, would come out was because of the weight of the cable and getting caught on something. And when you remove that, they just kind of float right there in your ear. Anyway, that's the concept. But what the other thing they're talking about changing is there may be more sensors in this for new health features.
More sensors and probably more commands too. Voice commands, I think. Hey Siri. Oops, sorry about that.
There it goes.
Darn it.
On the web for website about that.
She found something on the website about that.
Yeah. There may be heart rate monitoring as well as some other things. Now the rumor's black and white. Now the original ones, the ones you can buy right now are $159. AirPods 2 are supposed to be $200. So that's going to temper sales a little bit, I think. I
wonder if I can sell my old ones to someone. All right, so I'm going to get kind of gross for the first time on this show, I think. On Facebook, on the Apple, I don't know if it was Apple Watch, one of those Facebook pages I follow. This lady posted, post your pictures of your earwax in your AirPods. Let's see what you got.
And goodness.
What she got was like 100 responses saying no. So who puts that on Facebook?
Nobody did that, huh?
Someone did it. I'm totally serious.
Yeah, well, that is an issue, actually, because if you look at the screen on the – and we'll get gross here for a second. The speaker grill, if you will, on each one is so small, that's where the wax is going to build up.
Yeah, no doubt.
And they haven't really come up with a way to prevent that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, but I guess that would happen with normal, any headphones.
Just good ear hygiene.
Yeah. Right. Other than over the ear headphones, of course, those would be the neatest version.
That would be your first health indicator.
If you can't remove them because of the earwax, I think you need to go see a doctor. Okay. So the other thing that's rumored to be announced at the same time is the long, long awaited AirPower.
Hey.
They're saying that will hopefully be out this spring. We'll see. Don't know. I'm all the rumors are that this is underway, even to the degree of they say it's going to be thicker than originally designed because of the, it's calling this 877 coil configuration, whatever that means. So that maybe that was their solution to fixing the problem. The rumor also is that they will be around $150. And they also say that they're currently filming commercials for them.
Nice.
So all those indicators tell me that it probably will be coming soon. Now the question is, when they announce these, now there's a March event, and we'll talk about that in a second, coming up for that Apple always has. And there's also the WWDC event, Worldwide Developers Conference, is rumored to be June 3rd through June 7th. In San Jose, you're going to get iOS 13, macOS 10.15, and of course, watchOS 6. And that's in the summer. But this March event is supposed to be all about services. However, the hardware may be the AirPower and the AirPods 2, I guess. We'll just call them AirPods 2 for now. Those are supposed to be announced as well. I think the worst thing that Apple could do at this event is announce these devices and say that they're shipping in the fall. That would be terrible.
At the March event?
Yeah, because of how delayed they are. If they don't get on stage and say, and you can get them next week, or they're on sale now, I think people aren't going to believe them.
I read that March event is going to be 100% services oriented, so maybe not. But I wouldn't be surprised at the developers conference. They say fall, which is June, right? So it's just a couple months away from then.
But a lot of these rumors are saying that both of these devices will be out this spring.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I think I did read that for the AirPower.
Yeah, and that the AirPods 2 would launch at the same time. Maybe not. Maybe they'll put the AirPower out now, and say the AirPods 2 is coming in the fall. Because they also have to sell a charging case for your current AirPods to go with the AirPower. So,
and that's got to be, you think that'll be at some kind of discount? No. I guess, what did I just say? Of course not.
We're talking about Apple. What is that?
You know, as soon as you say something that's wrong, that was one of those statements.
Yeah, Apple and discount do not go in the same sentence.
Yeah.
At least not directly from Apple for a new product.
Right.
And you talk about iPhones.
I'll still buy it, though.
You talk about iPhones, though. They're like on a rampage to get these sales up, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
They extended the deal again another month. You know, trade in a phone, get the, what is it, the 10R or whatever. They're trying to push it like crazy. Anyway, we'll see what happens. The other rumors is that they're testing Macs with Face ID. As well as touchscreen displays. But these are just prototypes. They're just internal testing, so don't look for those anytime soon. But, lots of...
It's seriously stuff. About time they had touchscreen. I know there's a lot of, discussion around that, but, man.
Yeah.
It's been years.
Yeah, the debate is whether it's that usable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why not just use an iPad?
Right, but it's one of those things that, once you have it as a UI device, then you can develop software around it. I think they're overthinking it. I mean, I know that they had the whole thing about, who wants to touch my screen, da-da-da-da-da-da, but, now it's kind of like we're so used to touching screens that, when I'm working, I want to be able to. I mean, they tried the touch bar, right?
Yeah, but I think their original testing of the screen resulted in the touch bar. I think that was their solution at the time was not to put it on the screen. And there's been mixed reviews as to whether that worked. I have that on my laptop. I hardly ever use it.
You forget that it's there, right?
I do.
I've never even looked at a laptop. You know, when I bought a couple new ones for kids, I never even looked at those.
Well, I have to tell you, the only time it really gets my attention is I'll open an app on the computer that suddenly that keyboard lights up with all kinds of options, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time, every now and then I'll look at it and go, oh yeah, I could just hit it there too. I'm so used to doing things the other way.
I'm about to get a new PC at work I've had this Dell. I don't want to swear or cuss on the show. I've already been gross, so I don't want to be cussing. But it's a piece of junk, and it's 3 years into my tenure at this company. I'm like, I need a new one, and they're going to send me a Microsoft Surface. So I'll see what that's like. And a lot of my colleagues are getting them, so I see what they're like. So it's going to be interesting to kind of crank that up and see how it works.
You're talking about the tablet?
Tablet, yeah.
Yeah, my wife has one of those.
She like it?
Yeah, she got it specifically for a designing program that has to run on PC, but it you know works with their version of a pencil, a stylus, whatever they call it. Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's a pretty neat device. I'll give Microsoft credit on that.
Yeah,
they did quite well, a job.
I don't want to derail our show, but a lot of my colleagues told me it's not very good to like sit on your knee in an airplane.
Because
of the way the stance and everything, but that's a different show.
It's got a weird curved hinge.
Yeah.
That's kind of a strange thing. Anyway, okay, moving on here. Let's get through this.
Let's do that.
Also, remember coming up in March, we talked about it all being about services. Well, apparently Apple has tapped a bunch of Hollywood stars to attend this event in March. So we're talking about Jennifer Aniston, Reese Witherspoon, Jennifer Garner, and director J.J. Abrams have been invited to this. March 25th is the date they're saying this event will be. All four of these people have projects in development at Apple. In fact, Witherspoon's production company actually has two of them in the works. So this apparently will be Apple's revealing of their TV streaming service, which is going to offer original content for free. As long as I think you have an Apple Music account. We'll see how they do that. The other part of it is they're going to sell subscriptions to other channels like Stars, Showtime, maybe HBO, maybe not. This is interesting, this whole concept, because when you think about it, as I was going through this, is this what Steve Jobs mentioned in his biography before he died? He said he had figured out TV. In his words, he said, "I finally cracked it." And we never knew what that was. And that maybe this would replace your dependence on cable, that you can finally go a la carte on your channel lineup. This would be fantastic if they can actually make it happen. And maybe this is their way of just simplifying. As Steve mentioned in the book, he said, you have all these stupid remotes with all these different configurations. To simplify it all down to one system, this would do that.
It's on its way that way, Tom.
I think so. But
I mean, cable companies and satellite dish companies, they won't be around in 10 years. I don't know. Everything's going to be – well, right now it's not on demand. It's basically you pay a monthly fee and it's on demand, but not by show or by channel.
Right.
But it's going that way. I don't watch anything on TV anymore. Nothing except sports.
Right. Yeah. I mean, most of what I watch is through Apple TV.
Same here.
If I'm watching something
on my TV, it's from a device or a app.
Right. I mean, it's changed over the last year or two. I mean, I have a DirecTV dish, and huge about recording shows, series, recording everything we want to watch. Lately, though, we do a lot of traveling. I'm watching these shows on my iPad. through an app.
Same here.
But in a lot of those cases, that I can only do that with the app because I have a DirecTV subscription.
Right, right.
It's tied to it. So Apple would be breaking that if you can subscribe to certain channels through their service. So we'll see what this is, but kind of exciting.
If you don't mind being a year behind in seasons, you don't need any of that, right? You just go on Netflix and or Hulu or Amazon Prime and watch the previous year. That's where I'm at, really.
Right.
If I watch a network show, I'm a year behind because I'm watching it on a service that I pay for, but it's last year's season.
Correct. But a lot of that is not some of that is not available through Netflix and stuff like that.
That's straight up.
It will be.
Yeah. I think everyone's trying to nibble at Netflix's edges, and it's crazy. Going that direction. I mean, right now I'm just tallying up all the subscriptions that are going to be hitting me in the next couple of years. I mean, with Disney kind of consolidating all of their media into their own channel too, that's going to be an interesting move.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
Tom, you said if we have a iTunes subscription, we'll get this at no extra charge.
Well, I'm assuming, because they said they will offer this original content for free. I'm assuming you still have to have an Apple Music
subscription. Sorry. That's pretty good for the consumer.
Just like obviously. Like Amazon. If I have a Prime subscription, I get their video service.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
I think it's similar. It's all about Apple building up this revenue to replace iPhone sales.
Yeah, I've read also that Apple's been pretty tough on the revenue split too, and seems they're getting what they want, which is kind of changing the industry a little bit.
Yeah. Now the other thing that will be revealed is their new subscription service. Okay, so they're doing a deal. You know, they bought Texture mm-hmm. a while back, that the magazine consolidation company, if you will, that for mm-hmm. one fee, and they're saying maybe like $10 a month, you'll have unlimited access to articles from all these different sources. And Apple's doing some sort of 50-50 split on the revenue with these companies. Apparently, a lot of them have already signed up, a lot of publishers. So, yeah, they're going to be revealing a lot in this March event that's going to paint a whole different picture for Apple, kind of moving away from hardware here a little bit.
Yep.
So we'll see. Media
company.
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, I've brought it up a couple of times. It's life cycle, right? Everything in the world, in the history of the world, is going through a life cycle, even iPhones. Right. And you have to, in 20 years, they won't be an iPhone company.
Yeah, it's interesting. You talk about Netflix, man. They have upped their game as far as original content.
That has a lot of content.
Yeah. No, but it's better now.
Yes.
It's not just weird, strange things. These are this is quality, should be released in movie theater type of stuff. They're cranking out constantly now. Mm-hmm. And I think that the playing field is going to change drastically here this year. So good news for consumers. So we'll see what happens.
It is.
Yeah. Going forward. What else is going on this week? Oh, this is maybe a little more personal for me, but it is related to Apple. There's a famous creative legend, Lee Clow, works at TBWH, Hyatt Day, is retiring. And he is the man behind most of Apple's work since including the 1984 commercial. This guy has spent 50 years in advertising. He's behind Think Different. You name it. He's behind all these incredible campaigns. The Energizer Bunny, Adidas, mm-hmm. Pedigree Dog, all this kind of stuff. But the biggest thing he did was work with Apple both times with Steve Jobs, before Steve left and when he returned. In fact, his work goes all the way through the Apple Watch. Stuff he's done. So, yeah, he helped launch the iPod, iTunes, iPhone, iPad, Apple Watch, everything. And Steve Jobs once said of him, working with Lee has been one of the most wonderful experiences of my life. So that's high praise coming from someone like Steve Jobs. But yeah, he's finally stepping down. He's going to become, what do they call this? Chairman,
Emeritus,
yes. What does that mean? He's still on the board?
Yeah, he collects a big paycheck. Yeah, maybe doesn't have a voting right, but he collects the money, gets to go to all the fund meetings. Yeah. I'm making this up, but I think the big thing is he's still part of the board but doesn't vote.
Yeah, I think that sounds about right. And that's probably for life, mm-hmm. For what he's done, in creating all this.
Well, he deserves it. I did a Lee Clow best ads. I was like, holy cow.
Yeah,
that's a lot of ads. Oh, and they're all pretty good.
They're all, working in the industry, one thing I used to always say was I knew I saw a fantastic ad when I was jealous of it. Mm-hmm. When I said, mm-hmm. I wish I had thought of that. I wish I had done that. I can say that just about everything he's done. He's that great. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he's stepping down. So a whole new era. It is interesting what he said though about, I'm listening to an audiobook now, which is The Death of Advertising. And it's an interesting book, talks about how it's completely died or will die, but it's going to be reborn in a different way. And that's what Clow is saying. He said another creative revolution is coming. And he said, you know, when cameras were invented hundreds of years ago, artists didn't just throw away their brushes and paints. They picked up the cameras and the lenses and created the art form of photography, right? Mm-hmm. He said the same thing's going to happen today with all these new, the potential of technology, that you're going to get these special media artists who will come out of all of this.
Yeah.
We're just in transition right now still. That's why it's so chaotic.
We're just talking about like content on demand. I mean, it skips all advertising, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's no commercials in between those things. So all those creatives are going to now be creating the actual long form content instead of the 30-second interstitials.
Right. And this book goes into great detail about the death of advertising and how it you know, it started with the TiVos of the world, skipping commercials. And the biggest nail in the coffin has been ad blocking. online. So that's what they think is, or at least the author of this book is talking about, the death
of... Well, Tom, I always thought that for the VCR or the DVR watcher where you fast forward it, like General Motors should just put a commercial out there that says buy GM in big block letters and just leave it there. So when you're fast forward, it just pops up for 3 seconds.
Well, that's what I had always said, that to run, just to put a commercial out there in super slow-mo.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. But yeah, anyway, it's all going online. This new model, everything is going to be direct. There's going to be no commercials. Everybody's going to pay for it. Yeah, and advertising, where do they make their money? So it's a fascinating book. You should, if you get a chance to listen to the audiobook, at least.
I may do that. You've recommended two or three on here that have nothing to do with what we talk about.
Right.
Like the hurricane in Galveston. Mm-hmm. Great book. Terrible thing, but great book. And this one sounds probably just as good.
Yeah, I'll send you the info on it.
Yeah, please do.
Don't remember the exact name and author at the moment, but anyway, he's Lee is that's the end of an era, a huge era. And then one real quick note: you remember we mentioned Lucy Lee, the amateur golfer who was in an Apple Watch ad? Well, the USGA has given her a one-time warning for participating in that ad and keeping her amateur status. So good for her. She didn't get that taken away, but we'll see what happens there in the future with, you know, I think from now on, they're really going to check with these athletes to make sure nothing changes.
If she had taken off, you know, wore regular clothing and not mentioned she was a golfer, that kind of eliminates the whole point anyway, but because they don't know who she is.
Right.
Still should be able to make money for your likeness, just maybe not in the amateur sport. I don't know.
It's the amateur status. She can do whatever she wants.
Right.
But once she loses that status, then she's in a whole different ball game, literally. So, and then the last thing I want to mention just happened yesterday, I think. There's a rumor that Apple has acquired a company. The company's name is Pullstring, and this is related to Siri. So this is a San Francisco-based startup company that specializes in helping developers design, prototype, and deploy voice apps. And apparently Apple has purchased them. They've created voice apps for Alexa, Google Assistant, and will likely help Apple with Siri. Apple is currently in a complete overhaul of Siri, and this could be a big part of it. This company was formed by former Pixar executives in 2011. They started out making voice apps for toys. So we're talking about Hello Barbie and the talking Thomas the Tank Engine were some of their first big successes. They've also done a lot of stuff in gaming with Samsung and Activision. Apparently, they were purchased for $30 million. With $10 million for payouts for their management. They've raised over $44 million from venture capitalist firms during their existence, and they're valued at $160 million. But apparently they like to team up with Apple. So this could be a big boost for Siri.
Yeah, big time. If we had the clapping sound effect, we'd play it here.
Right, and this ties into the AirPods, ties into the watch, ties into the phone, ties into the HomePod. This is big. This is the common thread through everything. It's on your Mac. It's on just about every Apple product. Mm-hmm. And Siri needs to get a brain. And this might be one way they're doing it.
I hope so. That's really the true negative that I think of Apple is that they started with Siri. They still have Siri, and everyone just blew by them.
They did. They started first, and they were leapfrogged by all these others. So anyway, so it's going to take Talking Barbie to bring back Siri.
It's starting to remind me of Teddy Ruxpin when I was a kid. I mean, like, wasn't this the promise? And talking to your device, whatever it is.
Oh, I think of the movie AI.
Mm-hmm. You
remember that little creepy bear? That little teddy bear? I mean, that was like beyond Siri, wasn't it? So I have a question. Does that mean Siri's going to have a Barbie doll voice?
I know. That's the first thing that the picture came up. I was like, what? Are we going to have themes? It's going to be like Tom Tom.
No. But, AS is going to be replaced with Hey Barbie.
That'd be funny. Hey Barbie.
Or Ken. I mean, you can pick either one.
Pick either one. There you go.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. That's all I have marked for the news. Anything else you want to mention?
I'm just thinking through what at the top of the show, what you were asking. I'm curious as to see what your overall health and vitals were during this time that you've been sick.
I did take a look at some of that, especially when I had these huge coughing fits, and my heart rate never spiked too bad at all. So I was happy to see that. Yeah. Because some of these coughing fits, I have to tell you, you feel like you're going to explode. I never got an alert.
Good.
In any of that. So, yeah.
Okay.
What I haven't done is exercise. So,
there you go.
Exertion. Aggravates it. So
you can tell when someone's sick. Their exercise ring just kind of.
Oh, I've like fallen off completely. I'm like, I'm gone. Yeah.
I'm using my finger and punching my screen. Like, what's wrong with Tom's? I'm waiting for it to update.
You haven't got a closed ring notice from me in quite some time.
Yeah,
but hopefully, that'll change. Or you, right, Vincent?
Yeah. Once in a blue moon when I forget to turn it on.
Yeah, it's like, what did he do today? I wonder. All right. Let's move on to what we like this week. Let's see. Chris, why don't you start us off here?
Sure, Tom. As I was saying before we started, there's another announcement of a partnership with Apple and healthcare. This one's with Johnson & Johnson. And it's kind of what I read in the article was a little vague. But their CEO, Alex Gorsky, basically quoted saying, ultimately, we're going to save lives. And it looks like it's a partnership around ECG and using that data to help, again, proactively anticipate issues or diagnose heart issues. So that's got me thinking about, wow, the health is just continuing to expand. So I did a couple things. I thought, well, let me see, because we've talked about all individual elements of health. People's lives being saved and partnerships. So I just went through a couple places to dig in and see some things we haven't talked about. And I'll go through them really quickly. So we did talk about the United Healthcare, I think a couple shows ago, where you can earn money for an Apple Watch over time with United Healthcare, which is great. And it's going to incent people. But I found another company in South Africa called Discovery Health. Right. So Discovery Health, lets you buy an Apple Watch for $25, and all you have to do is hit certain criteria in your activity rings weekly. If you don't, I guess they charge you the full amount sometime in the future, but again, $25 for the watch, do the activity, and you're good, right? So that's something outside the United States, in South Africa. I read that Apple is hiring over 50 physicians. So they probably are close to doing that already. But obviously, when you're making that kind of investment in healthcare professionals, it's something you're really focused on. So that's just another little tidbit around the health. And then I Googled Apple partnerships in healthcare. And I got something I wasn't expecting. But basically what it was is the electronic records, the health records. Mm-hmm. And it listed current partnerships Apple has as part of their health records beta. And there was probably 200. Now they could. They, some of them look like a single, you know, doctor location. Some look like big hospitals. But I was just surprised that I was scrolling. I was like, wow, there's a lot of people signed up for this health records beta, which links all your information to the health app. So I thought, wow, that's something that's incredible. And then finally, you know, I am on Facebook, but I do nothing but follow things I like. I don't have any friends, and I don't look at anything that kind of gets your heart going. But I'm on all the Apple sites, and this one post really caught my eye. It was from a woman who knows where she lives. I think probably the United States. She just got in the Apple Watch 4, and she posted, "I just did my first quarter mile run or 0.25 mile run and 0.5 mile walk." And she posted the picture of the watch on the Facebook page. And she got lots and lots of responses saying, you know, fantastic, keep it up, keep going, you'll get better. She was like disappointed. I'm like, man, that was great. That's the first time you've tried to run and you did a quarter of a mile. I think that's that's great. So I'm just just really happy that the health is picking up, and you can see there's outside of the United States it's going, and all these different things add up to, you know, Apple really focusing on health.
Yeah, you mentioned I guess it was at a hospital or a network that was doing the thing with the Apple Watch.
Discovery Health?
Yeah, Discovery Health.
In South Africa? I think it was a healthcare company, the way it read.
Okay, because, you know, there is the Johnson & Johnson study thing happening. They did the heart study. You've got insurance companies like Aetna, and recently I think United Healthcare. All of them are getting on board with this, either a severely discounted Apple Watch or free if you keep up with certain activities. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing was the Veterans Administration, the VA, that Apple is in talks with them to create digital records for all the vets. So that's Apple getting into healthcare in a way that isn't just hardware, right? It isn't just tracking your heart rate. That's like trying to change the system, isn't it?
Yeah.
When they get that deep into it. And I think that's part of their calling here. One of the last things that Steve Jobs wanted them to do when Steve entered the healthcare system with all of his issues near the end of his life, he was appalled at what he found. And I think he wanted to change it. And I think that's kind of the legacy of what they're trying to do. So it's good to see him still trying to do that. Here we are, 7 years after his death, and they're still pushing forward with this. It takes time. You know,
does
huge institutions.
I started thinking about what kind of organization does Apple have that no one knows about doing all this? Because this is not people designing an Apple Watch or an app.
Right.
This is linking with the healthcare professionals and communities around the world. So there must be an organization, then we've never read about it or heard about it.
Well, maybe it's in the basement level of the ring. You know,
they left them at the old campus, right?
Or they're at the old campus, right? No, they have plenty of room to have just amazing staff of people. But
right.
And that's the kind of thing you don't hear about, is how many people they're hiring and putting into these roles.
Yeah, if I was a medical device company, I'd definitely keep an eye out on Apple. I mean, right now, you see all the technology inside of hospitals, all the beeping devices and stuff, and I was just thinking about like PCs and Windows devices are still very prevalent in the healthcare industry, and those are getting ransomware and hacked. They have a huge market there. I mean, just not just the devices itself that's feeding the data in, but the actual overall infrastructure of healthcare. Man, if they can start renovating that whole process, that'll streamline things and keep things secure. I mean, with Apple's reputation around security.
Yeah, that's something I hadn't really thought about, was how vulnerable a lot of these systems may be.
It is.
You know, but that's a good point.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yep.
All right. I'll go next. What I like this week should not come as a surprise for anyone. It's more bands.
Okay. No.
I want to tell you about a couple of simple bands that I'm loving this week. They are versions of Apple's original sport bands, right? The fluoroelastomer, or flubber, as we call it. Yes. I have a few of them from Apple, but I was kind of lacking in variety. So I found a few on Amazon, and one of them is a bright red. And the other one is a pure white. So these are kind of a little extremes here. But I never thought I would like it that much, but I find myself wearing the white one all the time. It's strange how something with no color at all just feels right sometimes. Plus, I figured it's a good band for, you know, spring and summer months that are coming up soon. But I thought it would get really dirty too easily. But surprisingly, it stayed very clean. Now, the other band, with the red one, of course, I wore that on Valentine's Day. But it's also a nice, bright color that I've come to like. So I've been wearing those on and off. I also have a new Nike Sport style band, you know, with the holes in it. This one is black with gray holes. It's very comfortable. The unusual thing about this band, though, is that, you know, the pin that you pop into the hole to keep the band on, this one has double pins. It has two of them instead of just one, and I've never seen that before. And I'm not sure why or even if it holds any better, but it has two pins. So it's a little harder to get on initially. Anyway, by the way, all those bands I just mentioned, they were just $8 each.
Nice.
So wow. I figured even if they turned out to be junk, I wouldn't be out too much. But I'm amazed at the quality of these bands. Now, the last one I want to mention is also from Amazon. Now, I told you I went a little band crazy earlier. this one is a leather loop band. Now, I have one from Apple. They're $150 each, and I have the black one. But I love the they have a new one or a different color called a stone leather look to it. And now I found a pretty good replacement for that on Amazon. It was only $22. Now, the quality isn't exactly the same, but for the price difference, it's still really good. You know, the color isn't an exact match, but now I do have a gray leather loop. And I could probably buy about seven of these for the cost of one Apple band.
Wow.
So yeah, there's a huge difference there. And, you know, I don't understand how Apple can continue to sell their bands at such a high cost. I mean, I know the quality is better. I can tell the difference slightly, but in some of them, it's so close, you really can't, you know, but not everybody can afford to spend that kind of money on a new band. So hopefully they just kind of seed this market to the knockoffs of the world and start producing bands with more features in them. In other words, I think Apple should create a whole new category of smart bands. That's what I would love to see them do. Again, I'll put a link in the show notes for these. And it's strange, but they're all from four different companies. It's not like I went to one place for it. I just found these on Amazon, and it kind of blows my mind when you look at what we originally got on Amazon with bands for when the Apple Watch was launched, the quality versus now. They've about perfected every version of Apple's bands, which is just crazy.
But, do you proactively go on Amazon looking, or do you get like pings on Facebook or something?
These I proactively went out and searched for. But I do get a lot of notifications, of course, for different things. And you look at them and they're like, yeah, okay. that and that other company, the ninth company I mentioned, just makes incredible bands. So there you go.
It's amazing how there's whole industries spun up as a result of like these bands. I mean, whole businesses are built around it now, you know? That's what Apple does. I think that center of this whole Coriolis effect that causes folks to innovate.
Right. The same thing happened with cases for all these devices when the phone came out. You know, there's entire companies and industries built up around this. So good to see them going strong. All right, Vincent, what do you like this week?
I actually have an app. I came upon it a couple of days ago called Noted. It's in currently on the App Store, and it's being highlighted. And you know how we like Just Press Record, which actually is on your watch. You can start recording, and it'll also transcribe. This one's more of a focus on note takers or professionals that are in meetings, and you can start a notebook. And essentially, did I mention the name of the app yet? It's called Noted.
Duly noted, yes.
You can, while you, when you create a notebook, you can add a recording to it, an audio recording. So their whole purpose is to bring written notes as alongside audio notes. And you start the notebook, you press record, and during that time, while it's on your watch, you can press a hashtag button. And a hashtag button allows you to mark, like what you do, Tom, I mean, during these recordings, so that you can look back in the timeline, and it'll help you, you know, find the points within that conversation or
wow,
that recording.
Wow, that's nice. I like that.
Yeah, so you have little indicators along the line there. So you don't have to listen to the whole thing and find out where, you know, what you need to pay attention to. The other cool thing is, like, I haven't seen other recording devices do this, but it'll just automatically append to the end of the recording instead of, like, you know, creating a new file. So if you go back to the notebook and you say, like, oh, yeah, I just want to record some more, you just continue resuming that recording.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's really neat. It's got a whole bunch of features. It is got a free version where you can have five notebooks and do as many recordings as possible. And I mean, I tested with just recording off the watch, and it is amazing quality. I mean, obviously it's on the 4, so it has better microphones and stuff like that. But the playback, the noise canceling, noise reduction, it's some pretty amazing stuff. Once you get the audio recording into the notebook, you can type and do, you know, your typical edits, formatting and all that stuff, highlighting. And then on it'll basically document all those little hashtags that you had during the recording. And then that from there, you can annotate in text as to what it is that those hashtags were for. The free version, I said, has free five notebooks. You can pay the monthly subscription, which is like $1.50 or something like that. You get the noted plus features, which allows you to do a bunch of other things, unlimited notes, export to PDF, reducing background noise. You can even equalize the recording options. I mean, all these things and share.
Okay, I'm going to call it now. We're going to do our show on this.
No. Exactly. So it's pretty amazing. But, like, you know, for $1.50 or like $17.99 or something like that for an annual, I mean, I just thinking back, I mean, I pay what, $50 for Evernote?
Right.
So I'm like, that's pretty reasonable. You can basically store and export all your audio out and everything as well. So noted. It does one other thing with the complication. Most complications that you have just open up the app, right?
Right.
But this one actually, as soon as you click on the complication, it starts recording.
Ooh.
And so there's no lag. So wow. It's actually a pretty interesting feature there.
Now, I have a question. I don't know if you know this. If I record something on the watch, can I send it to someone from the watch?
I don't think you can send it from the watch.
Okay.
Yeah, but definitely plays back on the watch too. But you want to listen to that,
right? But say I record it on the watch, and I just go to the phone, and I can email it to someone.
I think it's in the premium version. I don't have that yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I'm thinking for people to send in their comments to the show. Mm-hmm. If you have this app on your watch, you can record it anytime it pops up that you say, "Oh, I want to mention that on the show." They can record it on their watch, and then later on, send it from their phone. Mm-hmm. To us at comments@applewatchcast.com, and I'll play it for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. I think I'm going to get this one too. Because the other one was what? Just press record or?
Just press record.
Yeah. That was the other app that this is similar to. Mm-hmm. But this has some neat little twist to it.
Yeah, it is. It sounds nice.
Nice. Love it. All right.
And just like the other ones, they won't be allowed in the House of Commons. Remember that story?
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah, they won't allow that. Real quick here, let's see what's our time like. We got a little bit of time. I'm going to do one quick feedback. This one comes from Jason. Jason says, on previous podcasts, you've talked in detail about people using Apple's new ECG feature of the watch to determine if they have AFib. This also includes debates of whether or not it could potentially do more harm than good. I wanted to share a personal friend's story related to this topic. and a specific use for the ECG app I have not heard discussed. I have a close friend who's been diagnosed with AFib long before the Apple Watch ECG feature was announced. Once Apple announced it, she discussed the feature with her doctor. Long story short, I convinced her that unlike myself, who simply loves the watch for reasons I'm sure most of your listeners share, she had a very real healthcare justification to own it. Now, upon instruction from her doctor, she regularly uses the ECG app to record her AFib when it's an issue and sends the results to her doctor when an episode occurs. This Wow. creates a constant data stream to her doctor and spares her wearing much less comfortable monitoring devices on a daily basis. Anyway, thought you and your listeners might enjoy another perspective of how the ECG app is helping others. As always, keep up the awesome podcast, Jason. Thanks for sharing that, Jason. I love hearing these positive stories because mm-hmm. that's why it's there. That's why Apple put that feature in there. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just to sell more watches. It was there's a need for that type of thing. So that's perfect. Love it. So thanks for sharing that, Jason. And again, thank you to everybody. As Vincent just mentioned with the Noted app, there's now two apps out there, Just Press Record or Noted, that you can send us your comments, send us a review of an app or a band or anything else. And we'll try to play it here on the show. I would love to do that. Just send all your comments to comments@applewatchcast.com. It's very simple and easy to do, and we love to hear from you. Is there anything else before we tap on a notification and nothing happens over and over again until we realize our watch is still in water mode and we need to turn the crown to make it spit before it wakes up? I've done that a lot lately. I don't know why. Very forgetful. But again, anything else you want to mention?
I think we're good for this week.
All right. Great. Well, that's all the time we have for this episode. Thank you, Vincent and Chris, for being here. I really do appreciate it. And thank you to everyone out there for listening. If you'd like to support our show, check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/AppleWatchCast. It's a great way to help us to continue to produce the show. So check it out at patreon.com/AppleWatchCast. Links to the stuff we talk about on our show can be found on our website at applewatchcast.com. You can subscribe to us in iTunes or any other podcast service you prefer. If you have a question about the Apple Watch or about our show, send us an email. Again, at comments@applewatchcast.com. Look for us and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. As always, thanks for listening. Until our next show, you're on your own time.
Remember to rate us 5 stars on iTunes.
Hi, guess what? I just saw an orange and black butterfly. Did you know that butterflies can fly up to 12 miles an hour? The orange and black one I saw is called a monarch butterfly. Oh, and did you know that butterflies live everywhere in the world except Antarctica? Uh-oh, I can't find a Wi-Fi network.